the chairperson is coming back now. She's attending something at the NCOP. Just for a few minutes. I think we'll give back to the researchers, and they'll give us the presentation until the chair comes back. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Okay, so earlier I spoke about the targets that we're not sure why there's been a change in the number of targets and the confusion around that. Point number three, around the budget. The program has allocated a budget of 21 million rand, and it, as at March last year, it had an expenditure of 18.4 million. That's from the previous presentations that they gave us. They indicated that by March 2013, they had spent 18.4 million of the 21 million allocated to the program. But now in the presentation they gave us now, they don't indicate the program budget separate from the transfer payment to the CGE. So I think that's not an adequate reflection, because on page, on slide 16 of the presentation, they show that for quarter one they had a budget of 79 million, and for quarter two also 79 million. They never had 79 million. 60 million of that money is the CGE's transfer payment. So that if the amounts that are reflected here are actually not an accurate reflection of the actual amount of the department spent for the program. Then also, in terms of donor funding, from the information they sent us, an amount of 1.3 million was received from various donors for a range of activities. However, it seems that for some of the funding there is a duplication. For example, on slide 22 of the presentation, there's an amount of 101,517 rand that they received from the UNFPA for the development and finalization of its M&E framework. But this amount and description is also reflected in the donor funding in the Child Rights Program presentation. So is it the same amount that was reflected twice, or is it two separate donations towards the two different programs? That kind of clarity is not provided in this document. Then on the overleaf, there's just some questions and concerns. So firstly, why has there been a change in or adjustment of program objectives, and how did that impact on targets and activities? In terms of targets that weren't achieved, have they been rolled over to the program activities for this year? And if no, why not? And if yes, is there adequate funding available to complete these activities? Then, as indicated previously, clarity is needed on the number of targets. And although the branch has achieved many of its targets, concerning that it has also had to undertake a number of supplementary activities. From the previous presentations they sent us, for each quarter there, at the end they had a list of supplementary activities that they had to undertake. So how did those activities impact on the planned targets, outputs, and budget of the program? I think the following point I raised in our previous meeting also, the program provided support in establishing the Council on Gender-Based Violence. Considering that the budget for the council lies in the administration program, how has this program's budget been affected in that regard? The branch also continually indicates that it has a lack of capacity and skills, and requisite skills and warm bodies to be able to undertake M&E and related work. Considering this, why is the branch also had to undertake supplementary activities and provide other support? And then it also indicated that it has a lack of funding to effectively implement its operational plan, and indicates in quarter three that an estimated 4 million was reallocated from the wage program to offset overexpenditure and stabilize departmental finances. So those are the key issues around the wage program that we picked up. The information over the next two pages is just that I've taken from last year and the previous year, also in terms of just the program performance, just to give you an indication that actually going 2-3 years back, it's the same kind of problems. Targets were still not achieved, and there's no indication of whether even some of those that weren't achieved have subsequently been addressed. So in a nutshell, that's the wage program.
I don't know if I can pop my question, but I have a Chairperson, may I?
Thank you, researcher. You want to ask something, Honourable Member Lomelis?
Yes, my dear. It will be short on bullet 5 on the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. The Minister alerted us to only 3 million in that budget of the National Council for Gender-Based Violence. And a CEO will be appointed. To me, it doesn't make sense appointing only a CEO, because the CEO will be needing support staff. What does the researchers think? Must we allow this department to proceed in appointing a CEO? Because what will that CEO be doing without any support staff or mechanisms in place or resources? And we do not have any other money. And as we see, as we work through the previous reports, National Treasury does not want to give them any more funding. And we as a committee can never, ever speak to National Treasury on giving them more funding, because we are also dissatisfied with the manner in which they are operating. So what I would like to just hear the view of the researchers on that one.
Actually, when we looked at Program 1 a month ago, remember the National Council on Gender-Based Violence resides in the administration program. And that's what we raised. If it's about women and children, and mostly women gender-based violence, surely the capacity and the knowledge designed with the program Crystal just spoke about now. So that council should be there. But in actual fact, they locate to the council in the administration program. And what Crystal's presenting now is the wedge program. So maybe as a way forward in the first quarter report, which they're going to come and present to us for this financial year, the department within the program one, National Council on Gender-Based Violence, gives a specific breakdown in terms of progress. How much money have you received? Who's been appointed? Because I don't know if members have seen in the Mail and Guardian, I think 2 weeks ago, there was an advert from the department around sending out a tender proposal, inviting people to, but it's based on donor funding. Department and donor funding to write a strategic or overarching plan to address gender-based violence in the country. So my suggestion would be, let us deal with the council in the first quarter and request who's on the council, some of the information we received, how much money has been allocated and what has been done. Because it straddles between women and administration, but the money is located in administration, but the content expertise is with women.
I think part of the problem, like Kasha was saying now, is that, okay, they're saying there's money in the administration program, like the 3 million that's allocated for that, but you're also taking resources out of program two in terms of physical people at this point who are supposed to work on it. So how does that impact? Because the council is now an additional task. It wasn't something that at the outset was always part of the department. So now you're taking physical resources from program two to assist with the setting up of the council. So how does that ultimately then impact on the remaining activities that still need to be undertaken within that program? And I think also, I mean, like Ashwa said, we should deal with the council at a later stage, but I think they did outline that there's a whole office, not just the CEO. So it's the CEO, and there will be other support staff also appointed at a later stage to support the CEO.
Thank you, Kristen. Honorable Lamola, are you happy? Any addition, clarity, or questions from the members? Oh, I think you are not finished, Kristen. You finish. Okay.
Information at the back is just for information purposes for members to see previous performance of the program as well.
Okay. You want to say something, Honorable Representative Mebe?
No, I'm fine. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, fine. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Let's hope Novatale don't put that thing down that you know to the department. Okay. I think this is only after how many slides they give us last time?
The last time they gave us
100 slides. And here it's only 3 pages from the researchers. That means tomorrow you're going to engage the department with this. We are armed, honorable members. I think everybody is satisfied about this report. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Patricia. You want to present something? There's something that.
Yeah.
Okay. I give it to you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Okay, so I think Neliswa and the secretariat team also provided 3 reports that I drew up on relation to children's rights and the quarterly reports. I'm only going to deal with 2 of them, and I want members, if you can, I'll describe them. The one is called Department of Women, Children with Disabilities Quarterly Report, Children's Rights and Responsibilities Research Brief, and it's dated 18 June 2013. It's about 8 pages in total. It says 18 June 2013. And I'll deal with that one as well. So I'll deal with the one that says 18 June. It's 8 pages, Madam DMO. I saw it at the back as well, maybe.
18th of June and 22nd of July.
Yes.
Which
is 3 pages. It could be 19. Sorry. Is it? It's 19 June. Sorry. 19 June. Sorry. Yes, that's the 2 I'll be dealing with. So for.
July and 19th June.
Yeah. Sorry, my apologies there. No, for the 18th is just a summary. I'm not going to deal with that now. It's just added information. But what I want to deal with is the document that says 19 June and the one that says 22 July. So I'll first go through 19 June because it's a more of a detailed report on all the indicators for the Children's Rights Program, which is Program 3. And then I'll deal with the summary I worked on the 22nd of July after that. So Program 3 for the department basically has a list of, I think it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 12, 14, 14 performance indicators in total as they reported in the quarterly reports. Now this brief is based on the previous slides they sent us, which was a stack of 60 slides. So I went through all of those, looked at those indicators, and came up with the outcomes and discussed it. So what I did was, you would see on page 1 there, you would see a list in the block of all the performance indicators. Develop a national program of action for children, etc., and it goes on to all the performance indicator. Now, what is first you can see there is that for that, all those 14 performance indicators with their targets, they had a budget of 13.5 million rand, which already is, for me, it's a limited budget for all of that work to start off with. And what I did then after that, I tracked each performance indicator. So I looked at number 1, which dealt with the NPAC, and I'm going to go through them. I just gave a short analysis. In this brief, I did a traffic light system based on what they provide information they provided. So red was not achieved, orange, amber was partially achieved, or in progress. I would like to call it in progress still, and red means not achieved. So performance indicator 1 says they had to do a national plan of action for children. Now, they report that they've completed this at the end of the 4th quarter. However, if the committee remembers, in November last year they came to present on this to the committee and only presented a draft. So the committee never actually saw a final product, which the department reports is now at cabinet stage and for cabinet approval. So I gave that one sort of orange rating as in progress because we haven't, this committee hasn't seen a final version of it. Indicator 2 says they should facilitate processes to integrate the mainstreaming of children's rights into policies and governance processes. And here, I just look, if you look at the fourth quarter, this target was to, once this report is done, they had to disseminate it to municipalities. In other words, it's not just about creating the document, it's about disseminating the integrated mainstreaming of children's rights to all municipalities as well for use. That's the target. They report that they've only sent it to one municipality in the northwest and to the deputy president's office. Once again, considering that the target is to disseminate this program, and this is quite important to integrate children's issues into other issues within municipalities especially, so it's still not completed. Program 3 speaks to, or indicator 3, sorry, speaks to coordinating the sanitary dignity campaign, which actually throughout the quarters has been done consistently, so that received a green rating from me. And then indicator 4 spoke to coordinating a number of social campaigns. And here, once again, they did coordinate a number of social campaigns. They spoke about in their reports. And then I made an example there that they spoke about. They launched the Universal Access for Education for All Children campaign with the Department of Basic Education, etc. So Child Protection Week, they were campaigning throughout. So that's a green rating from me. And then indicator 5, strengthen child participation and child advocacy. And yeah, I had a concern because the entire principle of child participation is not only for event purposes, and I fear that this is what's coming through all the time. We speak to children and go, we spoke with children, they said this, this, and the other, and then it just stays nowhere else. An important principle about child participation is that you have to see the views of those children infiltrate international plan of action on children, for example, into other policies, integrated mainstreaming into the M&E program. So all of those have to be taken into account. Therefore, I argue that it's crucial for the reports that have been produced by these child participation and self-advocacy initiatives should actually also be tabled or should be presented to this committee, because we need to know what are the children saying about the implementation of their rights and services for them. So that we can use that as a tracking measure as well. So it cannot just be sort of a show and then afterwards nothing happens.
Chair, if I can just quickly say what comes to my mind now, and also perhaps lead us to changes in legislation.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And considering that the department did not provide any information on how they will mainstream the ideas and resolutions of children into government policies, I gave this indicator a sort of in-progress rating because they have done it, but now they just need to take the next step and say, okay, we're going further and telling you what we're going to do about what you said. Performance indicator 6 was to develop a comprehensive children's rights M&E strategy, and I think we've discussed this at the, Kashifa mentioned it because it came out of the oversight report of the department in March. So they've reported that in the first quarter of the last financial year, they did a diagnostic study which was completed. And then there was a first draft of the strategy which was completed in the second quarter. In the third quarter, they said consultations were held and training took place for both the department and Stats SA. And in the fourth quarter, a comprehensive strategy was developed. Now, this comprehensive strategy, which was the one they presented to this committee, or at least also sent the information to this committee, was a sort of overall M&E strategy. It wasn't a specific one for children's rights. Not close to my mic, it's there. Oh, okay. And what we need to see, what this performance indicator is about, is getting one specific M&E framework for children's rights, which we haven't seen. We've seen an integrated M&E framework for all women, children, and people with disabilities, but not for children. So they've done parts of it, and once again, I also said it's in progress on that basis. Performance Indicator 7 spoke about reviewing and monitoring indicators for ECD. Now, here, once again, the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation in the Presidency, the second ministry in the Presidency, completed a diagnostic review study on ECD, a really good one. And this was as part of government priorities on delivering quality education already. So my question here was, how does this performance indicator on reviewing and monitoring indicators for ECD link to what the DPME already done? Because we don't want to duplicate, we don't want to spend resources on duplicating. That was quite current and it was quite well done. So yeah, again, it should be noted that the indicators for ECD was reviewed by the diagnostic study, and the department records that during the fourth quarter, these indicators once again were included in the M&E strategy for children's rights. And once again, I just spoke about performance indicator 6, which was this M&E strategy, which shows that there's not one specifically for children. And then I based that and gave it an in-progress rating as well. Now, Performance Indicator 8 speaks about finalizing UN and AU reports on children, which was done. They presented it to this committee. We had our own process of getting experts and then had departments respond. Remember, we were still in the Good Hope Chambers to do that. And then we submitted our report as well. What is concerning to me is that they can take the same report. They presented the report there for the UN to us. They can take that same report and present it to the AU as well. The AU welcomes it. However, the AU says they should provide an annex with specific rights within the African Charter on Children's Rights, which are not in the UN. For example, the African Union Charter on Children's Rights has a clause that says it speaks to the responsibility of the child. That is not in the UN Convention, so therefore that is not in the UN report. But it should be included as an annex to the UN report to the AU on those specific articles, which we haven't seen. So we haven't seen that annex on the AU report. And therefore, I gave this an orange rating because it says that we've done the one, which was completed. It's at cabinet, etc. But we haven't seen an annex for the AU report, which I think is important because it speaks to a lot of issues in relation to children in South Africa, children imprisoned with their mothers because their mothers have committed an offense and give birth in prison and that sort of thing. Performance Indicator 9 speaks to develop indicators for monitoring violence against children. And once again, the department reported at various stages. Then M&E indicators on violence, they said it's part of their DFID proposal, which I presume is part of the proposal which they put in, which the minister mentioned in a budget speech at the start of the year, of $1 million, which would go towards the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. And once again, I gave this one a red rating because one couldn't see exactly what has been done. Performance Indicator 10, compile one report on the progressive realization of children's rights, and here they sort of linked this to something they've done before, which was the UN report, and they said, well, the UN report is one report on progressive realization of children's rights. And I thought, well, then why did you have the indicator there in the first place? Then you probably should not have had the indicator, so I gave it a red as well. And then they have to convene machineries on children's rights, and yet it's very confusing when I went through their reports, for example, because they state in one PowerPoint presentation that the machinery will be held on 3 and 4 September. Then if you look at another PowerPoint presentation, this and the second one, it says it was held on 26 and 27 September. And during the third quarter, they report that it was held during 3 and 5 September. And during the fourth quarter, they say they had a joint machinery with SALGA on 11 February 2013. It's completely confusing. So when actually has this taken place? And therefore I gave it, because of all these anomalies, it's all confusing, I gave it an orange rating, because have they, haven't they, they weren't quite clear. Performance indicator number 12 spoke to coordinating a strategy for integrating children's considerations into integrated public service delivery. I gave this a red rating largely as well because the information provided then was also very confusing. It says one thing in quarter one, it contradicts itself in quarter two, what it said in quarter one, and so forth. For example, it says during the first quarter, draft strategy was developed and reported, and it says it will be refined in the second quarter. In the second quarter, they say the target was not achieved as the process had to be aligned with the consultation process of the NPAC, but then you just reported that you have a draft, so how do you report in the second quarter that it wasn't achieved? So have you done the draft or haven't you? And then in the third quarter, they report that they've been partially achieved as a draft is in place. So yeah, they're speaking again about a draft. And so it's very ambiguous. So it seems to refer that the draft was completed, but then it also says it wasn't. During the fourth quarter, it did not achieve any results with this performance indicator, as the department conducted training on the National Plan of Action for Children and the M&E Framework for Children. So because of all those confusion, I just thought it's too much confusion for one target. Performance indicator 13 spoke to child-friendly cities or communities, and the department produced a draft model for implementation and coordination during the first quarter. During the rest of the quarter, this model had to be implemented in one municipality per quarter. So like a target or piloting of one of this per one quarter. During the second quarter, the department still awaited for finalization of terms of reference with the German Development Bank. So I presume that was for funding for this from the German Development Bank. And during the third quarter, consolidation and finalization was pending, and the fourth quarter, nothing was reported. And here, once again, it links to what we were talking about, donor funding, because if you look at the German Development Bank, they do fund development stuff in relation to Africa, child-friendly cities, etc., but the department didn't report them as a donor funder in their report on donor funding for children's rights. So what is a cooperation between the German Development Bank and the department in this regard? So I gave that a red rating. The last indicator was develop an institutional framework, and once again they mentioned what has been done, but it wasn't consulted, and the target once again was they had to consult with this, and you can read there, I'm not going to go into too much detail. So on page 7 I sort of drew a matrix on what was achieved, what they called partially achieve, and I think we should call it rather in progress, and what they did not achieve, and you can see how it's played out over there, 50% in progress, 14% achieved, and 36% not achieved. Now, in relation to donor funds then, what we have received is that a list of donor funds which amounted to about 788,000, and a lot of those things were achieved in relation to the 14% achieved. So it seems like what I've sort of come to the conclusion is that things that have been achieved was part of the department strategies or performance plan, but because of the contractual obligation with the donor and because the donor also provides technical support to have it achieved, it gets done under donor funding. And then I said there, in this regard, it should be noted that most of the activities were completed and reported during the 2012 and 13 quarterly reports. This seems to indicate that performance indicators actually was achieved because of a contractual obligation in terms of receiving donor funds, while performance indicators for results from the department's annual funds received from Treasury seems to either be incomplete or not achieved at all. This despite the fact that only 1% of the entire department's funds constitute donor funding for children's rights. It's a very small, minute, that was then. It was a very small, minute amount, and they got it done. So I have some questions for consideration. That's just the one. If I think before members have questions, I would actually like to present the second document, which is much shorter, because I want to, the reason why I'm doing both is you would see that there are major disparities between what the department sent us in June, the 11th of June, all those slides, to what they sent in the new batch of slides. And as members can recall, we asked them to send, to take those four and put it into one comprehensive PowerPoint presentation. So the content, the substance shouldn't change, but only the substance shouldn't change, but only the format, essentially. So it shouldn't be new information. We, Crystal and myself and Kashifa, we shouldn't have come up with new research briefs because the content should have essentially stayed the same. But we did, because we looked at it again and we realized some of the content differs. So as you will see in the 22 July document I drew up, the one that says research brief summary, it's about 3 pages long. Okay. And there I said that this document I slightly altered because, I drew the comparison. So for 22 July, what I've done here, you would see, for example, I sort of did a more of a comparison with what I did before and now, the information we received before and now. So here, this document is slightly altered from the previous summary I wrote. The reason for altering this document is because the department sent another version of the quarterly reports. And the first challenge in this regard is the discrepancy between the later version of the presentation that was the department sent us, and our request here was to combine. So, and here I have an example. For example, in donor funding, the department first reported to us that they received 788,000. And I calculated it. So they gave us the donor, the amount, what it was for, and I just did an addition of all the amounts. And suddenly, here it amounted to 1.2 million. 1.246477 million in donor funding that they received for children's rights only. So that's already a first point of disparity. So the first PowerPoint presentation, just general challenges that the department sent, it seems to have indicators that were incomplete, which were not only incomplete since the 2012 financial year, but also for the years before that. And here an example would be if you look at indicator 13, where I just spoke about on child-friendly cities. In the version before that the department sent us, if you look at that document I went through on page 6, we gave it a red as an incomplete because it was incomplete, because they were saying they were waiting for the German Development Bank, etc., so they didn't complete this indicator. But in the new PowerPoint presentation the department sent us, they said that they've achieved it, or it's partially achieved. So it was incomplete then, because here it says, because they couldn't provide us with the draft model, but now it seems to have been completed in the new version, or partially achieved in the later version. The department only, like what we've calculated in my document before this, is that the department only achieved 14% of its performance indicators. This position the department report has changed within the second PowerPoint they sent us, and suddenly 68% of the indicators have been achieved in the updated PowerPoint presentation. And if you page on page 2, there I made a little list of just with the numbers of what was achieved, partially achieved, not achieved. And once again, if you add all of those lists, just like Crystal indicated, firstly, in the first PowerPoint presentation, they had 14 performance indicators. Suddenly, they have less. 9 plus 2 is 3 is 12, is 13. They have 13. Suddenly, they only have 13. They have 13 for each quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, they only have 12. They missed out completely on one. So one must have fallen away. I don't know how they've done that. But what is fascinating, what is interesting for me is that members, if you recall, this is for four quarters of the previous financial year, which ended in the end of March. So between June, when they emailed us presentations, and when they emailed the second lot in July, there should have been no changes because it was previous financial work. If there have been changes, if they've completed some of them, it would fall under the new financial year, the current financial year, because it's past. So, so any development subsequent to April, I mean subsequent to the end of March, is for the new financial year. So therefore, it cannot be reported now under those reports as completed. And another point I kept there was that the performance indicators were not strategic in relation to government plans or goals, and they need to give proper thought to this. And I'm saying this because, for example, they're duplicating things like violence against children. A lot is being done by DSD on it, as well as the ECD diagnostic review that the presidency has done it already. So maybe you should have done something else as opposed to duplicating, or maybe you should have joined a partnership with them instead. So there was, it wasn't really strategic. And then budget-related issues here. What I've picked up on there, because the new presentation speaks more detail to budget issues than the previous ones, the program had a budget of 13.5 to 5 million for that financial year. The department managed to reach, as they reported, 68% of its targets achieved. But they've done this and they've overspent on their budget. So if one look at the PowerPoint presentation and add up all the expenditure versus to the budget, you'd come to an amount of 24.233 million. In other words, they overspent by 10.7 million, essentially, in this program, but only reach. Now I'm saying, well, my arguments are, if you overspend, yes, it's not always great to overspend, it's not great at all, but if you have something to show for it, you show an outcome, you show, and then it could be a little bit justified. But if you only spend 68%, I mean, if you only reach 68% of your performance indicator and you overspend by 10 million, it tells me that the thinking in your strategy beforehand and your annual performance plan wasn't smart, because there you should have realized you costed each performance indicator, and if you've only managed to reach 68, you should have only managed to reach 68% of the costing for that and not overspent on it. So, or at least not overspent by 10.78 million or 708 million. Now, as I said, that previously the department reported that they received 788,000 from donor funding, and then they said they reported on what those were, to review the National Plan of Action for Children, support the completion of a combined UN country report, the diagnostic report for M&E, an integrated M&E framework, and support for intersectoral policy dialogue. Now, these were all achieved, or in all are in the completion phases, and they've done that with 788,000. In the updated report, they sent us the 1.2 million that they're doing in donor funding, which they received both from UNICEF and UNFPA. So if you take that 1.24647 million, add it to what they have overspent, or subtract it to what they've overspent on 10 million, they still overspent by 9.461533 million. And the question is, where does that cost going to, where is it going to be fixed from? Is it going to be fixed from this financial year's program? Because, in fact, the children's rights budget for this financial year, this one currently in, has decreased already. So, for this financial year. And then I have some key questions for consideration, because here, especially the first one, I want to focus on a little bit, Chair, if you don't mind, largely because... Yeah, basically says, when does the department plan to present or send the committee final versions of the following documents? And I've mentioned those largely because those six documents, largely because now they've reported in the updated version that they've completed it. So that means they should have those documents ready when we need it. So if you ask for it today, by then they should be able to email it tomorrow or courier it if you have to. If you've completed it, it's done. So then I've listed those documents which I think need, because once we've received that, we can sort of also verify that those indicators actually have been reached. And those were the list of documents and which I think they need to at least which they said they've completed, which I think we do need. And then there are further other questions on catching up, what will the department do in order to complete the outstanding performance indicators. I'm not going to go through all of them just for measure of time, I think. So, but those are all related to what I've just presented. I didn't have any questions there in relation to donor funding because I thought it was quite clear, and I think members also, you've picked it up, that it's quite clear that there's major disparities in that regard. And then now you can see how it differed from the June PowerPoint presentation versus the July PowerPoint presentations in terms of substance or substantive issues. So, thank you. I'm done. Any questions?
Chairperson, just on that one, can you now see? Chairperson, can you now see how very important it is for us to receive documents on time and not a day or so before the time? They know, they have our program, isn't it? And they know when and what they need to present. And this was really a burning point all the time that I was in this committee, receiving documents on a day before the time, or, you know, not being able to really scrutinize and work through documents properly. Can you see how very important it is? Because this is exactly why I say this. We need to pick up the issues in the documents.
I fully agree. And I don't think there is a difficulty in them doing that, but I think it's a strategy that you don't get enough time, you know, because it's not only this department, it's the habit, you know, of all departments. That's why they were also driven back by other portfolio committees, because they do it deliberately, you know, to bring documents late so that you don't get enough time to go through the documents. So, members, here is, I think, we still have the same questions as to explanations as to why the disparity, you know, which is very important, because I think all of us, you don't know which document to believe, you know, to which document is right. If the information that is sent, you know, a month later is different from the previous one, whereas all we wanted is just a consolidation, you know, of what they presented, but still they come with different information. So which one is right, you know? It really confuses us.
Okay, but it's even more serious than that, because when a department or a DG or an accounting officer presents information to Parliament, which is misleading, I mean, to mislead Parliament itself with your information, it's a serious, serious, serious offence. And in fact, you know, a person can be, you can lose your job for that. So at the end of the day, when one comes to Parliament, your information must be truthful. And now what I'm left with is to ask, was the information that they presented to us last time untruthful, and is this truthful, or is it the other way around? Because how can you go from having 14% targets met now to having 68% targets met? Somebody is misleading us here, and I don't think they actually understand the great nature of that, because this body, this institution, this portfolio committee, we must be respected in a manner that the information that is brought before us is truthful. And to mislead Parliament itself, it's a very serious, you know, offence, and I don't think they are actually considering that, because how can information change so quickly?
Chairperson, I want to add to that. That is exactly what I was going to say. And this now brings to mind, do we have a competent DG heading this department now? Because she needs to oversee that functions are through. And that presentations to us are taken seriously.
Last one, the disability program. It's the document I've just handed out a month ago. It's going to be short. It's going to be short. I just gave it to members now. A month ago, I, like Crystal and Lorenzo, I also did a paper looking at what the disability program is. So I've had to update it based on the new information. So in this paper, we start off with, if you look at the block around the review of achievements, what you'll notice is, in terms of achievements, it's very few. They start off with 3-5, and then in the third and fourth quarter, they end up having 2-2. But the non-achievements just increase at the beginning of the first quarter towards the end quarter.
Is there any reason
for that? We'll get there. We'll get there. What I've then done is to say, well, what this program for disability say around achievements? And I've listed for every key performance area, what was the indicator that they say was an achievement. But just taking on page 1, the first achievement, they note that the assessment report on the National Awareness and Accessibility campaigns were compiled. So this was noted as achievement, but there's no indication as to what the outcomes of the initiatives were. Because surely it's not just about the fact that you've compiled it. What was the point of you as a department in your coordination role? I'm sure if members are part of the email list, they will email you this month, this week about Deaf Awareness Week. Next month it's about mental health. The emails are helpful, but it's more than just sending the emails. What does the coordination actually entail, and what does it cost? Because many of the campaigns are often run by Department of Health and Social Development. So what's the role of this department? If they say you compile the report, what was the outcome of this? Moving on to page 2, on the second bullet, they note that they were supposed to develop this disability awareness campaign framework. My concern is, it's the third year of your MTF cycle. How is it that you, in your third year, have developed a framework for campaigns? How did you then do your campaigns in your first and your second year? If you did it in your first and your second year, what guided you? If only in your third year you're finalizing that. And then there was also assessment reports that they did, which was submitted to monitoring and evaluation. That's the third bullet. But again, with all these reports, where are these reports to the committee? If they've completed the report, surely they could have sent it to the committee and say, this is a product, this is something that we have done. We haven't seen any of these products. In terms of the performance indicator, the indicator says it's statements around the SA delegation to the on the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities in terms of this conference of state parties. Like, we've recently attended the 6th conference. They say, and the indicator is the fact that you put out a statement at the conference. For me, that cannot be seen as an achievement. No. It's more than just a statement. It's what's contained in the statement. If, for example, the statement was that actually community-based rehab is very important in South Africa, donor money in terms of UN agencies should not only be directed towards HIV/AIDS, it should also include disability. If we could get that right, that's an achievement. But to say that you just put out a statement and that you emailed it isn't sufficient to warrant an achievement. In terms of other achievements, institutional support and capacity building, they speak to an intervention model around access for education for children. However, if you look, if you interrogate that achievement, that indicator, it's more about them giving guidance and support for the development of one centre. But there's no indication as to how those centres were rolled out for the rest of the country. It was just a once-off initiative and event, and they gave guidance and support, but it's seen as an achievement. So what's the cost in providing guidance and support, if you say that as an achievement? The next one was around the institutional framework development. They say the framework was finalized in the first quarter, but it's not clear what the cost implications are for the implementing the framework and how this framework is going to be disseminated in government departments and municipalities. Because part of the institutional framework is to say how you work with other departments, supposed to guide. But we've engaged with several departments so far. Any of the departments have never ever mentioned a framework that looks at disability to us. When we had the public hearings, this never came up. The discrepancy, however, around this framework is that in the initial presentation, it was cited as not achieved and in the quarter four, and it should have been, and it was going to be deferred to 2013-14. But suddenly in this updated presentation, it says that it was achieved. So how do you move from not achieved a month ago to achieved now? Again, around institutional framework, they spoke of disability and joint machinery meetings were convened and that stakeholders were consulted. But it's not just about convening a meeting. Again, the emphasis should be on when you had your disability machinery meeting, what did those stakeholders say? What did you agree on? What are the resolutions? Did you follow that up? And again, all those reports of those meetings are very crucial because a disability machinery means representation from all the provinces. So each member in each of your province should say, well, what did my province say at the disability machinery meeting? Who is representing our issues? And what was the resolution taken? There's no indication. What you also know, we've just covered achievements in terms of disability. One thing is, which is absent in the achievements, is nothing around monitoring and evaluation. Mm. Nothing. That's a concern. For an entire year, from the achievements that they listed, it's meetings held and maybe one or two reports done. But there's nothing around M&E. If we now look to what they call partially achieved, they talk of the universal access strategy, which was approved. But the reason why it wasn't finalized, because they were waiting for a task team to be established. And by the end of that year, the task team still wasn't established. And my question is, are you waiting for a task team to be established for you to finalize a strategy, a policy? Surely that should reside within the department. You shouldn't be waiting for other people to help you as the experts for disability to come up with a universal strategy, access strategy. If we turn to page 3, monitoring and evaluation and report. Here, there's an indicator that looks at access to education for children and young people. The survey on the conditions in special schools. We've heard about this audit of special schools forever in a day. But they're saying they were still waiting for outstanding questionnaires. They didn't have the capacity to look at the data, and they were going to ask the Department of Communication to help with data capturing. The discrepancy, however, is that the audit of special schools has always been noted as an ongoing activity, which was reported to the committee before. But in the reports, they only speak to it in quarter one. Nothing's ever mentioned in quarter two, three, and four. So what happened to it? Did it just close off, die? No indication. Next performance indicator, disability considerations integrated into all government-wide M&E systems. This is crucial because in order for governments to mainstream disability. They need a framework and they need indicators. By our third year, this framework has still not been completed. There are still no finalized indicators. So how do we expect line departments to then collate the appropriate information and send our department the appropriate information when there's no guiding framework and there's no indicators? One of the key issues they also say was, well, they couldn't focus on this in the third and fourth quarter because the emphasis fell on the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities country report. But surely the two are linked, because when you finalize your M&E framework and when you have your indicators, it's directly linked to the country report. Because when we ask departments to come back to us and speak to us about how they're implementing, they needed to give us the information as to how they're mainstreaming, what are their programs, and how far they've come. So it's a poor excuse to say, well, we couldn't focus on M&E because we were busy with the country report. The two are linked, and if they can't see the link between the two, it's a problem. In terms of UNCRPD reporting requirements, they said the country report was submitted for approval. However, there was a lack of responsiveness by national departments, provinces, and districts. This was in quarter one. In quarter two, there was going to be a second draft, which was supposed to be finalized, but the response rate was still slow. And then the target was suddenly not reported on in quarter three and four. The discrepancy, however, is in the previous presentation, this target was not achieved. And yet, in the current presentation, it just stipulates quarter three and four is none. So there's constant discrepancies between what they presented a month ago and what they present to us now in the updated report. Still on partial achievements for institutional support and capacity building. They refer to support intervention around equal access to employment and economic empowerment. Here the indicator was about developing a model for outlining norms and standards for mainstreaming disability considerations into skills development centres. But what does that mean? It's so very vague, because when they give an example of what they've done, they actually only refer to ILOVO Skills Development Centre, one centre, but the indicator is broad. It's saying for the country, how do we want to make sure that youth and adults with disabilities are able to access economic opportunities and skills development with incentives? The discrepancy is also that the initial presentation, this target was seen as not achieved, but suddenly in the updated, it's seen as partially achieved. Next performance indicator, strategy for mainstreaming disability considerations in integrated public service delivery coordinated. Here, it was about the capacity development framework for disability considerations. Still not finalized, but it was only reported on in quarter one and not again. The key issue around the capacity development framework and mainstreaming, you need an overarching policy. How are we going to mainstream? Number two, you need indicators. Number three, you need guidance and a framework to be able to report on how you do that. The targets relating to the capacity building of national and provincial depots was coordinated, was not clearly linked to the indicator. So in other words, the indicator talks about a strategy for mainstreaming development, but the targets are now talking about capacity building. So how does capacity building help you develop your mainstreaming strategy? The two don't connect. And then they identify PALAMA as a key service provider and sourcing disability experts to develop training materials. Now, PALAMA has surfaced in relation to children's rights and in relation to WEDGE and in relation to the administration program. So maybe in tomorrow is to understand, what is PALAMA doing with the department, and what are they doing, and what are we doing? Turning to page four, again, the institutional framework was drafted in quarter one and finalized and was consulted in provinces and municipalities. Very, very broad, no indication as to what does this mean. what is the cost of actually implementing such a framework. The not achieved is very long. They didn't achieve a national disability policy. They didn't achieve the universal access strategy. M&E frame reports, access to education, with all of the access to education and M&E reports, they're saying the reason they couldn't do any of that is it was subject to terms of reference needing to be finalized with consultants and money to be sourced. So that's the reason why they're saying they couldn't do deliver on indicators and reports and M&E related to access to education. In terms of number, page 5, the performance indicator, access to employment and economic opportunities. Again, the key concern is because they didn't have the capacity and the financial resources, they couldn't deliver on these indicators. But the third bullet point under this indicator is very crucial. The discrepancy. In the current report, they don't reflect on the status report on increased access by people with disabilities to economic empowerment and skills development program, which was supposed to be completed. This is key. We've heard through the public hearings about persons with disabilities, the lack of opportunities for economic empowerment. How is it that the department couldn't get that right? Not just in that current financial year, but over 3 years. And the fact that you suddenly, you reported a month ago, but then you don't report it again. Economic empowerment is crucial. And suddenly it's lost. The department noted that there were delays in approval of terms of reference and advertising bid for appointment of consultants, and therefore it would be deferred to 2013-2014. This was reflected in the first presentation, but not in the latest. Moreover, the last target, which referred to is the most crucial and requires quantitative information, disaggregated data, which should have been collected throughout the year. So in other words, they could have asked information from DTI, from Labour. We visited projects where we've seen how much DTI has given for SMMEs. They could have asked how much money has been dispensed for projects for disabled persons. They can ask that of the NYDA and they can ask that of the DTI. They don't need a consultant to be able to get that information. In terms of participation by people with disabilities in rural development programs, not achieved. Again, persons with disabilities living in rural areas are often the poorest of the poor. The fact that they couldn't achieve this means we have the departments with no clear indication as to the status of persons with disabilities in rural areas. And then the last indicator, disability consideration integrated into government-wide monitoring and evaluation systems. Crucial. It's again, it's about mainstreaming, about guiding other departments, but this wasn't achieved. In terms of institutional support and capacity building for the intervention model, again, it was the discrepancy in the previous presentation, it was noted as not achieved. But in the current one, it just stipulates none. And what does none mean? The strategy for mainstreaming disability considerations in integrated public service delivery coordinated. Yes, the role and the involvement of the LAMA in district and local municipalities and capacity building. But it's unclear as to how the finalization of such a program would contribute to achieving the mainstreaming strategy. So if you get Palama involved and the land are doing capacity building of municipalities and just a few, how does that help you to finalize your mainstreaming strategy? There's a disconnect. As we wrap up on page 6, the general concerns and challenges. Disability program, the department sees it only achieved 77% of its targets. That's two-thirds of its targets it didn't achieve. Sometimes there were indicators that were not reported on. For example, the SA Country Plan and the African Decade of the Continental Plan, which was supposed to have been implemented and coordinated. There's also duplication of targets across indicators. In some instances, they refer to consultation with higher education, and they cite it as partially achieved. But in other instances, that same indicator is seen as not achieved. So it doesn't make sense. So the same target appears two places. One place they say partially achieved, and the other place they say not achieved. So thus, it's not clear what the department's role is specifically and what the cost incurred is if other departments have already budgeted for some of these issues. For example, disability units in higher education, expanded public works programs, backlog of assistive devices. It's higher education, public works and health. They would report within their annual performance plans and their annual reports on those targets. What would be the role of our department? That's not clear. What are they reporting on? Those other departments are, if health is reporting on backlog of wheelchairs, if expanded public works is talking about disability, and if higher education is talking about disability units. So in summary, the disability branch was unable to deliver on key deliverables, and most of these were deferred to 2013-14, and it was expecting donor funding and assistance to produce these outputs. I also want to draw your attention to when we looked at the department's annual report for 11-12, we noted the following when we did the analysis. This is now from the previous financial year, that they, and these targets were also not achieved. Finalizing the disability mainstream strategy, partially achieved was the guidelines, disability responsive budgeting, disability policy and the goal, and a monitoring tool developed and implemented. All of these targets appear again in 12-13. So in 11-12, we noted this in the annual report, but come a year later, these very issues appear again. In terms of the last page, the budget, the program was allocated $12 million for the 11-12 financial year. However, with all the department's other programs, most of the program's budget was allocated for the compensation of employees. And then for 12-13, it was a marginal increase of 15.4. So it went up from 12 million to 15.4 million for disability. In these quarterly reports that we receive, there's no real information in terms of donor money. The report on donor money which we had, which they sent to us, was for 11-12. And it does refer to JICA, but it was for the assistance of the Disability Summit, and $660,000 was allocated. So this is for 11-12. So we don't actually know for 12-13 how much money they receive from donors for disability. The department explained previously to the committee that for 11-12 there was under expenditure for this program, which was attributed to human resource shortages as well as limited finances in order to achieve the planned activities. How then, given the under expenditure in the following financial year, it was looking to donor funds to assist with its deliverables? So in other words, in the previous financial year, they're saying they underspent. But here, when we look at all the non-achievements, they say they can't do this because they're waiting for donor money. They're waiting for the terms of reference to be finalized. So that doesn't make sense. If you underspent in the previous financial year, it meant there's money left there which you didn't use. So if you didn't use the money, why are you going to donor funders? That doesn't make sense. So in the 2012 E&E, they noted the following key deliverables. They were going to develop an M&E framework. They were going to look at adapting instruments. They were going to look at catalytic projects, and they were going to facilitate public-private partnerships, and they were going to coordinate forums on the rights of persons with disability. So that was identified in the E&E, but just as we think back to all the issues that I've gone through, many of these things are actually not reflected as either achieved, not achieved, or partially achieved. So what happened to what you write in the E&E? Where do you report on that? And then in summary, The program underspent insofar as compensation of employees is concerned in every quarter, yet the main reason why many of the targets was not attained was attributed to a lack of capacity. How then did the department underspend? I just want to draw members' attention to one of their quarterly reports. It's quarter one. On their second last page, this is for disability. They say the vacancy rate is 46.6%. So for the disability program, 46.6%, that's the vacancy rate. One of the challenges they also put down is stalemate on resolving this juncture between E&E baseline and the reality of budget shortfall in program one, impacting very severely on capacity and morale. What they're actually saying is what they put in the E&E in the I just took out, this is from when they put the first quarter report for disability, which they gave us a month ago. They said in that one there was 46.6% vacancy rate, so just about under a half vacancy rate in disability. But the key thing which they note as a challenge is stalemate on resolving this juncture between the E&E baseline and reality of budget, shortfall in program one, impacting very severely on capacity and morale. And we've seen that happen when we presented program one a month ago. We said, why is it that there's so much money in program one, and suddenly the activities around advocacy, around meetings, which should actually be in disability, women and children. They're noting that because program one is underfunded, it has a ripple effect on their capacity, but also on their morale. And I think that's also something for all that affects all three programs which you come up with, because if disability is underspending, but they're not delivering because of capacity, there's something wrong. If you haven't achieved 77% of your target, that's hugely problematic. What have you been doing for that past year? If you have money which you haven't spent, but also if you're saying, because of the shortfall in program one, it's affecting my program. Or it's actually to ask this disability program, are you saying the reason you couldn't deliver is because money was taken away from you? Because that's what it appears to be. Because if you underspent, surely you could have employed more people and you could have delivered on your products.
Because the money was there, you still understand. So a chairperson, you know what I'm thinking? I think we need to workshop the progress of this department at some time or another and come up with a report on this department, an honest report, really. It is very, very worrying what is happening in this department, even under the new DG being appointed. It is very, very worrying. And we have to do something. We are not taken serious at all. They cannot be bothered to really improve the situation. This is the second year that I'm in this committee, and very little has improved. And when I criticize, I tend to just want to criticize. And these are the things worrying me. We are not getting interest on money spent in this department. Valuable interest. And it is not our money. We will be kept accountable by taxpayers that are contributing to get these things done, and it's not being done. Thank
you very much for the report and the comment. Yeah, there's a lot in front of us to do tomorrow. And I'm sure we all agree on that. It's actually demoralizing. This department, which should have been a very important department, because it's the only department that deals with this
three target groups. And therefore, I think it must perform. It must perform. One thing that we can't say the department must close, but the department must perform. Either they change personnel or what, or the minister, but we need this department. Because if this department is not there, then we are back to square one in terms of issues affecting these targeted groups. And I agree with that. Honourable members.
I wholeheartedly agree with what you say. But you know, any business that does not perform within 3 years' time must be closed down.
No, that's one.
Other avenues must
that's
be
one we want to agree with, member honourable.
What did we achieve thus far?
No,
so
I agree.
My sweetheart,
we
have spent more than 500 million on this department.
Yeah,
what do we have to show? What outcomes has come out of 500 million? That's a lot of money. And we must be honest about it. Something must be done. And this is what we're calling for all the way.
Yeah,
and nothing is really happening. Why? There was a cabinet reshuffle. Why did it not? Why did nothing happen?
We must try hard. Our report will guide them.
Yeah.
Our report will guide, you know, them what to do with the department. Honest speaking.
It is a very important department. Our women ask them every how many seconds? 17 women are killed. Every second, 17 women are killed. We have become the rape capital of the world. 47 women are murdered every week or day. It's not ending, Masita. And yet, what about our disabled people? Our disabled people are suffering. I can assure you what my oversight to them during the retreat. Exactly what happened to the
new people. I think that's the worst when the persons with disabilities budget is underspent.
No.
That is unacceptable.
Why can't we even buy capital or timbits for those people? Because they cannot survive. You know, once they're in a wheelchair, they tell me they need to use a catheter or a timbit. And if it's so expensive, they can use one catheter. If it is a catheter that they pay for the TRM only twice, then they need to buy another one. They're also human beings.
Okay, thank you. Honorable dear.
Chairperson is really frustrated. And I think I agree with you. We can't change this department. The department is already there. But really, we must call for the change of the minister. The minister, they got that maga. Thank you. I think I will tell her tomorrow. Thank you,
Chair. And we cannot stay put on this or quiet on this. Appointing people that doesn't know. You know, if these researchers take over that department, they'll do a much better job. They will exactly know where this will fall on the pitfall. Believe me. And we must be honest about this. We do know the exact situation in the department. We can make a huge change. And it starts right by getting an attitude right towards the people working in the department. She does not even have a good attitude towards us. Also, get your equipment. She went berserk in the budget speech. Berserk, she went. And nothing was done about it. And that is why I also, you know, if Anna's criticized, I also would like to say that you should have gone to the speaker and tell her what goes on with the military. And how she attacks the members.
Let's eat, Mama. Please.
I don't want to.
Okay. If you want me to take the tray, please. Okay, I'll bring the tray.
What a chair. Okay, too low.
Thank you. Mamy? Tak, właśnie.